All right, you guys, welcome to a special episode of Dads Who Try, because this is the Lost Tapes. And back in December, we had made the commitment to put out an episode every day of December, and we failed drastically for a number of reasons. Number one, we both got illness.
Yeah, we were sick for probably about 3.5 weeks.
I got strep throat, in addition to a handful of other colds and things like that.
Flus, all that stuff. Yeah, it's the December grind.
Exactly. You know, our Christmas, while everyone else was opening gifts, I was opening cough drops, and it was just no good. On top of that,
yeah,
we had a little mishap where the memory cards for our podcasts, because we had a few podcasts already recorded.
Yeah.
It went missing.
It went missing, aka we misplaced it, and we couldn't find it, to be honest with you. And I remember that morning, we had an early morning, and we had a guest on.
That's right. And we found it.
We found it.
And so this is episode 54 with returning guest, Balam Barreto. Tune in. I think this episode's really good, really insightful. I think we talk a lot about our relationships with our fathers and what that looks like and how that has to do with our current parenting style and philosophy on life. And so we hope you enjoy it. This is episode number 54.
AKA The Missing Files.
Here we go.
Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Just team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Dads Who Try. We are officially on episode 55.
This is episode 55, and, you know, I would say that I would normally, you know, figure out, like, a jersey number to match it with. I do know a player. He happens to be one of my friends. Josh Harrelson, who used to play for the Knicks, Miami, I met him in Detroit. Now he plays overseas in Japan. Shout out Josh Harrelson.
Shout out to Josh Harrelson. And let me give one more shout out. Just a couple episodes ago, we had a guest, Roman Boschko.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to it, go over and listen to it. You're going to love it. But today we have another guest, a special guest, a returning guest. We heard from him from the golf course.
Yep.
Our one and only out of studio podcast, where we recorded it on the golf course as we were golfing. We also had him in studio, and this makes him the number one most returned guest in the history of Dads Who Try. Put your hands together for none other than
Balam Barreto.
What's up, boys? What an honor to be back. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
it's
awesome.
You.
Okay, before we go any further, number 55.
Yeah.
So I'm not from San Diego, but I was born in San Diego.
Yeah.
So you're from there.
Hello. The former San Diego Chargers, now Los Angeles Chargers, legend, Junior Seau, number 55.
You guys
one of the best linebackers of all time.
Unfortunately, I don't know.
Dang. I know Troy. Polamalu.
Okay, here's another one. Dikembe Mutombo.
Ooh.
Stop. We know
that
Mutombo.
I know.
On the Houston Rockets.
Who's
know.
More famous between the two?
Come on.
Mutombo.
Mutombo.
For sure.
Yes. Let's be real.
Basketball's a much, I don't know, I'm sure.
Yeah, you see their faces.
Stats, but yeah, you see their faces, and it's a global.
Did you guys see last night this guy, Wimbiyama?
Wimbiyama.
Yep.
This guy, 18 years old, 700 inches tall.
Yeah.
Did you see him roll his ankle?
And pop back in.
Right back up.
You guys, I'm 33. Tommy's 34. You're
37.
Yeah.
Yep.
If any one of us rolled our ankles like that.
Oh, bro, it's game over.
It's not only is it game over, you might as well dig a plot for me at the cemetery. I'm done.
There's zero elasticity in my ankles.
Yeah. You guys, I literally walked into a divot the other day and dude wrecked my tendon. I'm gone.
Your ankles are trash.
I mean, bro, he was like, this is his ankles and he was just like this.
Dude, if his ankles are like
Gumby.
Like Gumby or like those tension, you know, those tension ropes that you whatever.
Yeah. I use some this morning.
With, yeah. If his are those, ours are like plastic bags.
Oh, dude, shout out to plastic bags at the grocery store. They're not around much anymore, but all three of us are Asians.
Yeah.
Let's shout out country of origin. The Philippines. I mean, Philippines. I'm American, but yeah. The Philippines are where my ancestors are from.
Yeah, shout out Vietnam. I don't actually know of any relatives over there, but I do know that they're all spread out.
Across Vietnam?
Well.
Or across Asia? Across the world?
Yeah, Asia and across the world. My dad's like
the relatives. Long empire is across the world.
I have some relatives that live in Hawaii. You know, we're not super close to them, but I know they're out there. And majority of them live here.
Wait,
in the
Johnny?
States. Tsunami, baby. Hey. I knew you were going to say that, dude. Okay, Johnny Tsunami.
First generation born in the U.S.
Yeah, my dad was born in Japan, actually.
Yeah.
His dad was in the U.S. Air Force. And so my aunt, his sister, was born in France. He was stationed in France, then stationed in Japan, and then in America. Fought in Vietnam, got a Medal of Honor.
Stop. A real mm-hmm. Medal of Honor.
Yep.
This is your
my grandpa. I never met him. He died before I was born.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, he.
Where is that thing? Where's the medal? Who has it?
My aunt has it now.
So cool.
He his entire platoon got ambushed, and almost everyone was killed except for him and I think another person.
Crazy.
And the enemy soldiers, the Viet Cong,
Tommy's ancestors.
Hey, look at us now.
Yeah, look at us now.
Solving world peace.
Dude, you know what's crazy? Actually, speaking of this war
I'm telling a Medal of Honor story.
Yeah.
You're just going to interrupt me with a crazy story about what?
No.
Digging tunnels.
We were never digging tunnels.
Anyway. They keep came going. And they made sure everybody was dead by stabbing them.
Gosh.
And if they moved, then they'd shoot them.
Okay.
And so my grandfather got stabbed. Him and one other guy
and didn't move.
Got stabbed, didn't move, and he bro, grabbed the crazy. Other guy and pulled him out, and they survived. Then he died of cancer.
Jeez,
dude, what a Medal like! Of imagine getting stabbed and not moving.
Yeah, lineage. Not even your, that's not even crazy. Your breathing, nothing, like not even flinching. You guys, my son will fake like he'll throw a feint at me, and I'll be, oh god, like you're getting slow stabbed, not moving. Okay, back to your story.
I forget where I was going, to be honest with you. Probably wasn't that important.
But the crazy thing about war is what you said.
Yeah.
This war stuff.
Oh, yes. I found out that my mom's dad, who's actually African-American, he was a medical, like, he served in the military as a medical person.
That's
medic.
Really cool.
Yeah. Medic. Like kind of, yeah, that medic, guy. Like higher ranked. He met my grandma years and years ago during that war. Found out my grandma was actually, her relatives are all from India.
What?
Me and Chad and Ryan has a few things in common I didn't know.
Bro, you need to take a 24 and me.
Bro, it's crazy. Dude, now, need now, to. Now it under, I now like, know, dude. Bro, I'm serious. Now I understand, like, now I understand the why she was looking the way that she does.
Yeah.
She was a little bit darker. And I never understood why. I'm like, why do you... You look kind of Indian, Grandma, but I never understood
my
why.
Mom was in the military.
She was?
Yep, and she was stationed in South Korea.
Shout out to Karen.
Shout out to Karen.
What's up?
The one that got away. Like, what? I mean, like, you know, she maybe wouldn't fulfill all the stereotypes of a normal Karen.
Yeah.
But some of them, for sure. My mom was in the military in South Korea.
Does she have, before we get any further, does she have Karen tendencies?
Some.
Okay, perfect.
Like, she would ask for a manager.
Yep.
Same.
But, like, not she me, would never mom. Be rude or yeah. disrespectful. My mom is the type of person who will make friends with any human being on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, she could be in a hijacking scenario, and someone could be like, gun to your head. And she'd be like, hey, you must have had a rough morning. You know what I mean? Like,
tell me about it.
Yeah, tell me about it. Hey, why don't you give me that gun? You know, she's the kindest person, the most generous person in the world, but... Yeah, she was in the military. She said it was the most... I think she was part of the military police. I can't remember exactly, but... Yeah, she said it was the most wild time of her life.
Seattle's got a big military presence, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. San like, think Diego like Pendleton. Yeah, mm-hmm. Camp Pendleton in San Diego. We have Fort Lewis and McCord Air Force Base. So it's like a...
Yeah. Really my dad was in the Navy.
For how long again?
12 years.
Wow. You talked about this on the golf course, but maybe give us some of your experience growing up with the dad in the Navy.
Yeah, great. 12 years in the Navy. He moved a lot. So back in the early 90s, like the big conflict was the Persian Gulf. So he was out in the Middle East for 6 months to 9 months at a time, home for 3 months, and that was it for like for legit 10 years. We were in Tennessee when I was a baby. I guess there's a base out there.
Wow.
For I don't know, maybe 9 months. And then San Diego for a majority of his service. But yeah, we lived in Navy housing. We lived in on an island off of San Diego called Coronado.
Yeah, where the sand is gold.
Or something like that. So there's the like the Navy kids, and then there's like the rich kids.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting dynamic. But yeah, my dad, 20 years to retire. I think that's pretty common in like service, governmental service jobs, if you will. He did 12. Couldn't cut it another 8 being away from his family. So he got out. He didn't reenlist. We moved back up to the LA area where, you know, talking about first generation immigrants is where both their families kind of landed when they immigrated here and had some community here. So we came back up and I've been here ever since. My parents are back down in San Diego. I've been down there for like 15 years.
Tell me about, okay, so 20 to retire. He makes it 12. You're saying he can't make it another eight years without a family. Like, I couldn't imagine going 12 like
Dude,
that.
Forget about it.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you guys feel any pressure to be, like, my mom raised me so well. My dad, while he was in the picture, was, you know, he was a good dad. You know, they both had their faults. But there's things about my mom that I want to honor her legacy. You know, her generosity, her joy, her work ethic growing up, you know. Are there certain things about your parents that you see, like, obviously your dad was gone for so long, but does that translate as, like, I'm bitter that he wasn't there? Or is it, like, are you at the place where it's, like, I feel thankful that he provided, like?
Yeah, totally. I think.
Would you do that for your family? Like, you know what I mean?
That's a great question. I don't know if I don't know, man. 6 months away from the family on a boat. Like, technology is different, so communication is much different nowadays. And it's not just a phone call, you know.
Yeah,
so
you could FaceTime.
You could FaceTime, Zoom, whatever. I don't know what the military is doing nowadays, but.
VR.
Yeah, maybe.
VR. And who knows what you could do with VR.
But yeah, man, I think the biggest thing when he got out was, like, the thing that I could notice and see was, like, or the thing that I guess my mom wanted us to really honor and recognize was that he sacrificed.
Yeah.
For us and. 12 years is a long time. I vividly remember just dinners or meals at the table where he'd come back from a tour and I wouldn't recognize a guy across the table from me. It was weird.
Yeah. Like facial hair type stuff.
Like. Yeah. Or like my dad's the Asian that tans really well.
Oh yeah, super dark.
Dark. And I'm like, who's that dude?
Yeah,
it's real, bro. And I don't know. I blacked it out. I don't remember not having a dad. I wouldn't
yeah.
recall my childhood as
fatherless.
But yeah, he was gone. I don't know. Maybe this is a therapy session that I need to explore, like, my past and how it's affected me. But
yeah,
great dad. He's the type. I think, I don't know, maybe we can get into this, but like there's a lot of stereotypes about just immigrant families and parenting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, I think, that we've joked like plenty of times of them, like being true.
Yeah.
They're stereotypes for a reason type thing.
Yeah. But my dad's the silent type.
Yeah.
He's, and shout out to my dad. He's the greatest. I love him to death. I could probably count on maybe two hands and a foot how many times he said, I love you.
Yeah.
And I'm 37.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the math there? Once every 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep.
And like big moments, he shows up, weddings and kids and stuff like that. And I don't feel a lack of love. But it's just, parenting is just
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like what it, I don't know if it has anything to do with like, what it meant to be a man and not having a very soft or not showing that soft side much. And it's probably different for raising boys and sons as compared to daughters. Right. But
And I think it's so interesting you say that because, like, I don't know if it's like, you know, in the culture or just, you know, due to his, you know, time in military and, you know, and how that may have affected a lot of things. But I also do think, like, you know, as you're saying that, I'm like trying to recall, like, you know, like my dad and, you know, his time, you know, he left when I was 10. And so we spent a good amount of time away from each other for a really long time until the last, gosh, probably 6-7 years. He started showing up again a little bit here and there, but, you know, our relationship's a little bit different. But I also, I just wonder though, like, you know, our parents back then around that time had, like, it meant something so much more when they had to sacrifice. And I think in my family, like, or in the culture, and I'm talking about specifically the Asian culture, there's just so many things that we, like, just by default, I'm just kind of like, I'm wondering why I do certain things or why we elevate certain people, you know? Like, I didn't realize this, but, like, my dad was, like, the oldest in his family, and there was, like, 9. And
jeez.
And when he has, so, like, the first child,
yep.
You know, according to the culture, it's, like, the golden son.
Yeah.
And they get honored. So, bro, for a long time in hit that side of the family.
Like, almost like a parent.
Almost as a parent. Yeah. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so they honor you in such a way, and they esteem you in such a way, and I'm like, I even know you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, this is kind of cool, but I'm like, I'm learning. But I always just, I find it so interesting as you're talking about this idea of, like, you know, how much he's kind of, you know, that you can recall how many times he's actually said it to you. I get certain senses of, like, with my own, you know, my mom, more or less, she was different. She was, like, raised here. Like, she spent a majority of her time away, you know, for the first 15 years of her life in another country. But the last 30-some years she's been here, 40-some years she's been here. So I think she's just kind of converted into, like...
She's American.
Yeah, she's American. But, Bally, yeah, it's so interesting you're saying that, man. I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
You know, I think in retrospect, my dad was a workaholic. Uh-huh. You know, I wouldn't know workaholic, but he would work, like, you know, 12-hour days, 5 days a week.
Yep.
You know, and then on the weekends, he would kind of be absent-minded. You know, not absent-minded, but just, like, he's tired.
Yeah.
You know, or he's working on the yard, blowing the lawn, or, you know, working on the fence or something like that. And in retrospect, like, my mom, you know, recently was, like, he thought that he was taking care of us by working.
Totally.
But we didn't actually get the thing we wanted, which was him.
Hmm.
And I think, like, especially with millennials, that was the case for so many of us growing up.
Totally.
That our parents saw it as we're sacrificing for our families, and the children saw it as you sacrificed. You didn't sacrifice for the family, you sacrificed the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sacrifice the family in the name of providing for the family.
Yeah.
So if I give myself up so that they could have a future, it's worth it. And I think a lot of us were like, what's worth it would have been you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, especially later on in life, like a relationship with you. And I think we're trying to figure out as parents and as fathers, like, how we can show both. Like, what are the things that we can sacrifice that won't harm our family unit, the unity of our family, the presence of a father. Right. 1 in 4 American households don't have a father figure. Not even a father. Crazy. Not even just a father figure in general. It's like, how do we... What are the things that we can sacrifice today to ensure the future of our family without also losing the family?
Yeah. One thing I thought... So, we have one kid so far. She's 2 years old. Just turned 2 on Monday.
So cool.
She's amazing.
Blakely. Dude, she's such a joy.
Dude, the best. But when we were pregnant with her, one of the things I thought about, maybe even just like within the last couple of years, obviously, I was thinking about, okay, like, I want to pursue my dreams.
Yep.
So she can see that in me, and I'm being the example of yeah, her following her dreams.
Yes.
And like, I don't know if I got that from the value is just different. It's not bad or good. I don't think it's bad or good.
No.
I think I don't know. Maybe not. There's gray.
Well, our parents were like, if I die to my dream to work a consistent job so that my kids can have their dream,
yeah,
then let's do it. I think our generation goes,
if I can show my children that achieving their dream is possible by achieving mine, then it will allow them to see the example of what that looks like.
Right.
It's such a crazy dynamic.
It's a full pendulum swing. Right?
It feels like it. Yeah, totally. Like my dad would be like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it so you can go do what you want to do in your future.
Yeah.
And we're like, I don't want to. I think we can have our cake and eat it too. It's like,
which can you? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe that leads to obesity and diabetes. You know, I don't know.
Maybe for our kids, it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe for us, it's in the middle. Maybe for us, it's somewhere in the middle for sure.
But where does that come from, though? I'm like trying to figure out.
I think it's something about like coming here from where they came from.
Yeah.
I think.
They came to America, and it was a privilege for them to be here.
Yeah.
There's a, I read this article called The Immigration of Wealth, and all these immigrants who became extremely wealthy have kids who squander the fortune,
inheritance, whatever
who
it
can't,
is,
yeah. who can't handle business. The business because they were born into the comfort of it. The thing that made these immigrants wealthy was the struggle of being immigrants. Mm. But their children don't have that struggle.
Yeah.
And so they weren't able to develop it and learn or adapt or create the resolve, the resilience needed in order to actually be successful. And like as far as I'm concerned, like that's what it seems to be the difference is like we're born into our parents' reality. Our parents got up and moved here and had a, you know, they saw themselves as like, hey, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to add value to my society because it's a privilege I'm here. Hmm. There's a lot of millennials and younger who are like, if my society doesn't add value to me, then the society is worthless. Yeah. It's the opposite. That's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
Sheesh.
I hope that if I died today, my community would be like, dang, we lost value.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to die today, but you know, I hope there's a.
You want to add something?
Yeah, I hope I add something to the people around me. You know,
for sure.
And I want my children to add something besides like stress.
Or debt.
Yeah, dear God. Oh man, what a cool story it would be if we could raise kids who didn't have debt growing up.
Dude, I was watching. I think.
What a thought. Actually,
there was a. A person that was on the, what's his name? Who does the money makeover thing? Not the money makeover. Gary, is it who's
not ringing a bell?
Who's a Christian?
Total Money Makeover.
Yeah, but who's a finance person?
Dave Ramsey.
Sorry, not.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Gary V.
I'm like,
oh, sorry, I was thinking about Gary V. because I saw a clip from him this morning.
Oh, but, Gary Vee's the Messiah of marketing.
I was on Dave Ramsey's thing, and I can't remember what he was saying specifically, but he's saying that we as a generation right now have a moment. We need to recalculate what it is to send our kids off to college and if it's worth it of the degree that they'll get, because people are getting these crazy extensive degrees and their jobs are not paying them enough to cover that. So pretty much he's saying you're going to have to invest 2 years into that job before you could actually start making income again.
Yeah.
Dude, I have
that's
a friend.
Crazy.
I have a friend. She has her master's in history.
Yeah, I don't.
General history.
Yeah.
She works at a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a master's in education.
You spend how much money on a degree?
Six figures. Easy.
Don't use.
Yeah.
On a look, if you're passionate about it, that's awesome. But you want to know what's crazy? You could get that education for a lot less money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm now again, I'm not bashing college degrees or anything.
No, I am.
Yeah.
For this generation?
What?
For ours?
I'll go this far. And I know this is extreme and you guys could prove, you know, you guys are probably have a, you know, you guys both have degrees. I don't, so of course that's going to be my bias. But I'm convinced like unless you are going into a trade or a technical position,
profession.
A portfolio will be the degree any day of the week.
Yeah. I think there's still for sure. I want the highest from the best schools in the world, like my doctors.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
My lawyers, if I'm in like
a technical trade.
Yep,
yes.
Yep.
I want you to be the highest educated version of that.
Right.
Yes.
I think the greatest thing a degree can do for an average person is prove that you can do something for a long time.
Yeah. I think that's important.
I think it's extremely important. And if you got to get a degree to prove that, I think that is honorable and notable, and that in and of itself is very impressive. However,
yep.
The speed in which companies move right now, or businesses or jobs, is, oh, that's so cool that you were able to do that for 4 years. This person actually did the job you want for 4 years before you got here.
And also, I think that the workforce nowadays, like, they're jumping ship and they're getting more money at, even if it's like a in position, like a lateral move, they're getting more money in less than four years.
Totally.
2 years or less, maybe.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if the industry is valuing, not experience, but like commitment, maybe.
Loyalty, brand loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You ever seen those things that's like, it's a red flag in an interview when the company says, "Oh, we're not coworkers, we're a family." words that companies use to try to convince millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah, people are just looking for a bigger paycheck nowadays.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And that's scary. I do feel like growing up, like my dad was at Boeing for almost 30 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Want to know how many job opportunities he, you know, thought about taking somewhere else? Zero.
Yeah.
This is where I work. I'm loyal here. This is it.
That's crazy.
Now, we're like, oh, hey, let's negotiate our paychecks. We're like,
compensation.
Hey, actually, over at Airbus,
yeah,
they give this position this much money in pounds. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, crazy. I think everyone's just trying to get just an extra, they'll leave friends and loyalty and commitment for an extra 2%. And it's like, it's, if you just stay somewhere for a while and it's a healthy place, you're going to feel satisfied. And,
totally.
And you're going to get probably paid more in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Staying power.
Right? Staying power.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, it's weird to think about, because I think the way that society works right now, it's like everyone wants to jump ship the moment they see an opportunity, the moment they see something. You know, I've tried to make a commitment to, like, even just the last several years, you know, I think in certain seasons of my life, I just said, hey, I got to stick this out just to see where it ends up landing, you know? And I think we ought to just start making more commitments like that, you know, to your, you know, your job, to your family, to your friends, to, you know, I think the value in staying and sticking around for the long haul just means a lot more to me than trying to sell myself short and maybe jump ship to something that I think could maybe play out like better in the moment. I don't know. I just feel like I just see a lot of it these days. People are like, man, if I see an opportunity, I'm there.
It's just the grass is greener.
Yeah, yes. This mentality situation. Of like, man, I think it's going to be better over there, so I'm jumping ship. I'm good.
Do you think that lead, that's one of the reasons why there's so much fatherlessness? Like dads who
maybe
are like...
a part of it.
I want my kids to be like this. And yeah, obviously there's not a reason, but there's a myriad, but... Yeah, the staying power thing. I think that's so important as parents. Like, if your kids say they're going to do something, where's the line where we say, okay, you're going to do it, even if you don't want to in the moment?
Yeah.
Like River, he's like, I don't want to go to football practice. Like, no, you said you want to sign up for football.
Yeah.
Let's play football.
I actually remember you talking about him being in basketball season last season, I think, and he wanted to drop like halfway through, and you're like, nah, bro, you're doing the whole season before you jump out of this whole thing.
Yeah, then we dropped him.
Yeah, and then
because the coach no-showed into his basketball game. I'm like, dude, I don't want him to. Now he doesn't want to play basketball, dude.
Yeah,
and that sucks. He wants to play soccer instead.
Yeah,
like what kind of type of kid am I raising? Kid wants to play soccer,
the biggest sport on the planet.
On the planet.
Okay. No, I'm kidding. I already got him a soccer ball and stuff. Like, I'm hyped. Anything he wants to do, I want him to try it. But
yeah,
except for drugs, alcohol, and promiscuity. But that's fine. You guys. I'm not going to lie, this feels like we have to end it sooner than we should. It feels like there needs to be a part two coming up pretty quick.
Yeah.
With special guest Balan Barreto. Yeah, yeah.
Happy to do it.
Some things to unpack. Yeah.
If there is one thing that you would give, maybe if you could give an advice to another parent or, you know, our community, what would you say that something that you've learned in your last couple of years of parenthood?
That's a good question. Also might need some unpacking. Biggest lesson or just a big one? I don't know.
Yeah.
Big one.
Just something you learned, I think.
I think maybe it's cliche, but I'll say it anyway. Like flexibility.
Yeah.
Is everything. I think if you're fortunate to be in a two-parent home.
Yep.
You guys just got to be flexible, and you got to work as a team, and you got to kind of sacrifice, if you will. We were talking about earlier, like, some of your needs and some of your wants, and obviously take care of your kid, but also, like, your partner.
Yeah.
Because you're in it together. I think my wife, she's crushing it at home.
Yeah.
And maybe I got to sacrifice a couple of tea times. It's tough for me.
Yeah, dude. If you have some selfish tendencies in a marriage, good luck, Chuck. It's not going to work for long.
Facts.
So, man, that's actually a great advice. You know, the idea of flexibility. You know, it's when we're married to, like, that schedule, or we're so tight about something, you know, and there's no room to wiggle. I think it just makes the family dynamic hard. And I feel like I've experienced that in certain seasons. And so I feel like I've gotten better. But there has to be a part two for sure.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're done yet.
Let's do it.
Part two coming soon. Dad to Try, episode 55. We want to say thank you to all of our listeners. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback. Drop a review on Spotify. It helps us out so much in the algorithm. Like, who even cares about the algorithm? But thank you guys so much. We love each and every one of you. And remember, it's not about being the perfect dad or perfect parent. It's just about getting better every day and trying your very best. We love you guys so much. We're out.
See you next episode.
Hey, that's just Dads Who Try, dog. That's just Dads Who Try. Team don't sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.